Mark chapter 2. And you'll just have to excuse me if I start coughing. I've had this congestion for almost a month now. Mark chapter 2. I actually have three passages I want to read. And they're a little lengthy, so bear with me as I read these. Mark chapter 2. I'll just begin in verse 1. And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts. Now they didn't say this out loud, but they're just thinking this. Reasoning in their hearts. Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whither is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise, take up thy bed and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, And I said unto thee, Arise, and take up thy bed, and go thy way to thy house. And immediately arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. All right, now turn to John chapter 20. John chapter 20, beginning in verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he shewed them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. All right, now, 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Second Corinthians chapter 2 will begin in verse 1. But I determined this with myself, that I would not come again to you in heaviness. For if I make you sorry, who is him then that maketh me glad, but the same which is made sorry by me? And I wrote this same unto you, lest when I came I should have sorrowed from them of whom I ought to rejoice, having confidence in you all, that my joy is the joy of you all. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart I wrote unto you with many tears, not that ye should be grieved, but that ye might know the love which I have more abundantly unto you. But if any have caused grief, he hath not grieved me, but in part, that I may not overcharge you all. Sufficient to such a man is this punishment which was inflicted of many, so that contrariwise ye ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. Wherefore I beseech you that you would confirm your love toward him. For to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether ye be obedient in all things. To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgive anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ. Now, does anybody see anything familiar about those three passages? Any theme that reoccurs in all three of them? It's called forgiveness. Right? It's called forgiveness. Now, I will state it this way, and it may not be completely, totally accurate, but we live in a day. Well, that's accurate. But we live in a day in which forgiveness has really been distorted.
Yeah.
It's really been distorted. What? And at least in two areas. There's probably more. And the reason I say this is not may not quite be accurate is because it's almost as if we have gotten here. That this was not necessarily so before. But that's not necessarily true. This may have always, to some extent, been true, but it does seem to be far more prevalent in our day. But for instance, forgiveness. Most people today seem to think forgiveness is a right and not a blessing of grace. You've got to forgive me.
Oh, yeah.
Right? I'm going to do this, and if I do this, you've got to forgive me. That's not so. That's works.
Exactly.
That's works. That's what it is. And on the other hand, you have that one extreme. You know, forgiveness is no longer a blessing. It's no longer a gift bestowed. It's no longer an act of compassion and mercy. It's this is what's due me. You've got to forgive me. But on the other extreme, to some people, if you talk about forgiveness, they think you're just being silly and archaic. Because after all, I don't do wrong anyway.
Yeah.
What I'm doing is not wrong. I don't need forgiveness. Who are you to talk to me about forgiveness or the need of forgiveness? Because I ain't done nothing wrong. That's the other extreme in our day.
Yeah.
Today is as if there are no absolutes. Mm-hmm. Everything's relative. What makes it wrong is if I feel it's wrong. What makes it bad or evil or wicked is if I feel it's bad or evil and wicked. And those who try to speak and stand up for the truth are told, you've got to tolerate me. You've got to put up with me. You've got to forgive me if I think I need forgiveness.
Yeah.
You've got to forgive me, but on the other hand, I don't want to. And I have the right not to hear your opinion about this matter.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's what we've come to.
Yeah.
That's the state that not only our country's in, but sadly probably many churches are in. And sadly, we're in a day when nobody wants to be told, hey, what you're doing, it's wrong.
Exactly.
It's wrong. It is an offense against God Almighty.
Yeah.
It's sin.
Yeah.
Now, we live in a day when everybody wants to pat everybody else on the back. Talk about how good a people we are, you know. As Earl used to say, most people go to church to congratulate one another on how good they are.
Yeah.
We're just, you know, I've heard them preach. I hear them on the TV. I hear them on the radio. Boy, that's those good folk down there at that church.
Yeah.
Well, the Scripture says there's none good.
Amen.
No, not one. So they can't be good folk, Jack, can they?
Exactly.
Men lie on God. Forgiveness. Forgiveness. We live in a world that is it is absolutely ignorant of the truth of forgiveness. And let me say there are absolutes. If God says this is the right way, then anything contrary to it is the wrong way.
Exactly.
Period.
Yeah.
There is no discussion. There is no debate. There is no adjustment for society's growth or degradation.
Exactly.
If God says this is a sin, it has always been a sin. You know, and as Joe had pointed out, it's been some time back, but he's probably said it more after that. You know, the Ten Commandments. Now, there are far more than ten, but he said the Ten Commandments. They're not ten suggestions.
Exactly.
It's not, here's what you ought to do.
Yeah.
God says, thou shalt not steal. You steal, it's wrong.
Exactly.
Right?
That's it.
It's period.
Yeah.
Period. Thou shalt not steal. It's stealing wrong. Forgiveness. Somebody said, but isn't there forgiveness? Yes, there is forgiveness.
Yes, sir.
But as I said, most people really don't know what forgiveness is.
Yeah.
Now, concerning forgiveness, let's go back to Mark chapter 2. That's where I began. And I want to try to approach this slowly. I don't want to get any hurry in this, just for the sake of getting to some certain point. Remember the account we read, Mark chapter 2. A man with palsy is lowered down by his four friends.
Yep.
And his sins are forgiven him, right?
Yep.
Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And some people, these scribes, and another writer says there were Pharisees there as well,
yeah,
that they questioned within their hearts, who is this man?
Yeah.
This man is blaspheming. He's claiming he can forgive sins.
Mm-hmm.
Now concerning this forgiveness, what was the error of the scribes?
Yeah.
What was their error?
Mm-hmm.
There's only two ways to approach it. First of all, we could say that their error was that they thought God alone can forgive sins.
Yeah.
Because, wait a minute, haven't we already read we're to forgive one another?
Yes, sir.
Right? Huh?
Mm-hmm.
But I tell you what, that's not the problem. That wasn't their error. Because it is true in a specific sense. It is true, and in the truest sense.
Yeah.
In the most important sense, God and God alone can forgive sins.
Amen.
These scribes' error wasn't that God only can forgive sins, but they were rejecting that Jesus of Nazareth was God and had the right to forgive sins.
Exactly.
And he said, to prove to you that me, the Son of Man, has the right on earth to forgive sins, I'm going to heal this man of his palsy. Because which is easier to say? Arise, take up your bed and walk. Be healed of this disease, or your sins be forgiven you. That was their error. Their error was that it was Christ was much more than just a man.
Yeah.
Not only does he have the right to forgive, but he has the power to forgive.
Amen.
And there is a real sense in which I do not.
Yeah. Exactly.
Now, you bring somebody in a bad shape, you bring them up to me. Do you think I can forgive them in the same manner that Jesus Christ did? No way. But yet we read that the apostles, the disciples, were told, and then we're told to forgive one another. We even read where it said, if you remit someone's sins, they're remitted. If you retain someone's sins, they're retained, right? They still got them. I realize that the papacy has used this for the priesthood, that they actually have divine power to forgive sins, but that's the problem. It's not the same forgiveness.
Exactly.
Okay? It's not the same forgiveness.
Yeah.
You see, all forgiveness is not equal forgiveness. Now, I may come up to someone and they say, well, I'm a believer. And we talk and we kind of agree on things. And I see them do something wrong and they say, you know, that was wrong. That was stupid. I can't even believe I done that. And forgive me of that. And I can say, I forgive you. But what if they're deceived and I'm deceived? What if they're not really one of God's?
Yeah.
Hmm? My forgiveness won't mean squat, David. It's not going to turn them into one of the elect. It's not going to convert them. It is not going to take care of their sin, is it?
That's it.
All forgiveness is not equal forgiveness. In other words, all forgiveness is not the same kind. All forgiveness doesn't have the same intent. And all forgiveness doesn't have the same effect. When Christ said to that man that he had, when he said it to him before he healed him, but he said to that man who was sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee. Bless God, they were forgiven him.
Yes, sir.
They were forgiven him.
That's it.
I can't do that. I can say that all I want, but the effects will be far different.
Yeah.
They'll be far different. So again, I say all forgiveness is not equal forgiveness. Can I give Mark chapter 2, verse 5 forgiveness? Can I? No. No way possible, because the Pharisees, these scribes, they are right. In this sense, God alone can forgive sin.
Yes, sir.
But most people don't have any idea how or why God forgives sin. They think God forgives sin because he feels sorry for us.
Yeah, you're right.
Well, he forgives our sin because he just don't want us to go to hell.
Yeah.
Well, wait a minute. Some people go to hell.
Yes, sir.
That's a reality, right?
Yes, sir.
No. God forgives sin because God is forgiving. He is gracious. And I don't want to jump too far ahead, but let me tell you, God's forgiveness is based upon righteousness and holiness. where mercy and truth and justice, where mercy and compassion and yet truth and justice can come together and kiss in agreement and none be offended. Where justice doesn't have to be lowered so you can show mercy. If I give somebody forgiveness, I usually have to lower the standard somehow or another.
Yeah.
God didn't.
Exactly.
He carried out the penalty against sin. He punished sin, and that's why God forgives sin.
Yes, sir.
I can't do that.
Exactly.
I can't do that. So I can't give Mark chapter 2, verse 5 forgiveness. Well, look again at 2 Corinthians 2, 7. Forgiving this guy, this man. They inflicted a punishment on this man, right? Paul said, forgive him. Is that the kind of forgiveness? Is that the only kind of forgiveness Christ gives? His forgiveness went so far that he hung in my place. He suffered on that tree as my substitute, vicariously. He suffered under the wrath and judgment of the holy God.
Yes, sir.
Mason, that's something me and you talked about. Here is God suffering under the wrath of God. I can't explain that to you. But here is the Son hanging there in suffering and pain and cries out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why? Because my sins were on him.
Yeah.
And he was being punished for my sins.
Exactly.
Now let me tell you, his forgiveness goes far above what the Apostle Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7. Here's a question. Are all without exception to be forgiven? You see, nowadays, and I know there are different approaches people come at it from, different angles that they come at this from, but nowadays, if you listen to most so-called preachers, okay,
yeah,
they will tell you that forgiveness is intended for all. Everybody ought to be forgiven. They'll go so far as to say, God wants to forgive you. Well, I don't see Christ saying, now, son, let me... Son, thy sins be forgiven thee.
Yes, sir.
And as we will see, there's forgiveness that is conditional, but there's forgiveness that is unconditional. And this is not just something I have to try to find in the context. The Greek words themselves change. We read forgive. In the Greek, it's two different words. One means to forgive, but other things may apply with it. Another one means to show, it's what it actually means, to show unconditional favor toward.
Yes, sir.
It's actually the word we have translated grace.
Yes, sir.
You know, grace and that word have the base words as their structure. Grace. It's a forgiveness that has nothing to do with me or what I do or what I think. But there is a forgiveness that does have to do with me and what I do and what I think. And let me tell you, it's all important. Because you're not going to have one without experiencing, to some extent, the other. It can't happen. God doesn't bestow unconditional forgiveness and then to turn his people loose and let them do whatever they want to do in this world, does he?
Right.
No, Hebrews says he corrects his children.
Yes, sir.
Right? I mean, if before we're forgiven, God's taking us through this little trip, you see. God's going to teach you a lesson. And if you're not being taught a lesson, if God's not taking you down this path,
yeah,
if God's not correcting you, then you are a bastard, not a son. You are not truly God's child. No matter what you say, no matter what you think, no matter how much you feel it, God does not let his people go.
Yeah.
He corrects us. He says he chasteneth every son he receives. And if you're without chastisement, you are a bastard. Now you remember what I told you before, what that word means in the Greek, don't you?
Yeah.
It means bastard.
Yeah.
That's what it means. You know, nowadays it's called illegitimate.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, people that had sense and wanted things to really be what they were and wanted to use terms so you could describe it for what it really is, they called it a bastard.
Yes, sir.
Right? Nowadays, if you say that, you're cussing. Now, granted, some people use that word the wrong way. They do. And don't misunderstand me. But that word is not a cuss word. It's a legitimate description of someone that is born, a child that is born outside of wedlock. That's a bastard. And I don't care who's, I mean, if you got one, you got one. You know? If you've had one or you are one, then you had one or you are one. Wear it proudly. If you are one, you'd have no say-so in the matter. Right? You wasn't your doings that you made you a bastard. That's why you're a bastard. If it had been up to you, you wouldn't have been a bastard. Right? Oh, no, don't talk that way. No, I'm trying to be real. You know, God Almighty forgives.
Yes, sir.
And He really forgives. He truly forgives. Mm-hmm. And God Almighty chastens. And He truly chastens.
Yes,
He really chastens.
Yes, sir.
It says, though the righteous fall, he shall not be utterly cast down.
Amen.
Right? He's not be. If you can fall and you are utterly cast down, then you're not righteous. You're not one of the righteous people. Though the righteous fall seven times, what does it say? The Lord shall uplift him with His hand. It says something like that, right? So you can fall and you can fall and you can fall, but God will what? He will lift you back up. He will not leave you down there.
That's it.
We're not talking about people who don't sin. We're talking about people who are forgiven. And when they're and even when they're forgiven, sometimes they still suffer in this life because of their sin. But there's one thing we will not suffer, that is the actual penalty for sin, which is not to lose your job. It's not to get a pay cut at work. It's not getting a flat tire on your car. The penalty for sin is what? Death. And that we will never know, as it is truly death. Death stinger's gone for the believer, right?
Yes, sir.
It stings gone. No. In other words, God forgives sin. But you still sow what you reap.
Yeah. That's true.
No, I said that wrong. You reap what you sow.
Yeah.
You reap what you sow. No, all forgiveness is not the same. Let me tell you, all without exception are not to be forgiven. Now, let's go back to one. John chapter 20. Let's read that verse again. Mm-hmm. It's that last one. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain.
Yeah.
Wait a minute, I thought we were supposed to try to get everybody forgiven. Mm-hmm. Right? That's to be my main thrust, is to get everybody under this veil, this cloud, this blanket of forgiveness. No, Christ told the disciples right here, some people's sins you have the right to retain.
Yeah.
Right?
That?
Is that not what that says?
Yeah.
It doesn't say, well, if they won't let you remit them, then they got to be retained. It says, if you remit them, bless God, they're remitted.
Amen.
If you retain them, they're what?
Retained.
They're retained.
Yes, sir.
All right, Mark chapter 4. Are all people, is everybody to be included under this cloud, this blanket of forgiveness? Now, let's just read another passage. And this is familiar. Mark chapter 4. And we just begin in verse 10. And when he was alone, that is when Christ was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked him of the parable.
Yeah.
In other words, Lord, why? What is this parable? Why are you talking like this?
Yeah.
You know, why are you using this language, these stories, David? Why are you talking this way?
Mm-hmm.
And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God.
Yes.
But unto them that are without,
mm-hmm,
are these things, are, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables.
Yes.
Now let me just stop. I have heard this with my own ears.
Oh yeah.
And I have heard a preacher say that the reason our Lord Jesus taught in parables was so that the common, everyday, ignorant man could understand the truth of God. Now, I don't read that in the book anywhere.
No.
As a matter of fact, I actually read the opposite.
Yes, sir. Exactly.
that to some people it's given to know, and to others that are without, those that are without, whoever they are, whoever's without, it's not given. But I'm using parables. To you, it's a benefit, but to them, it's what?
Yeah.
It's going to be a stumbling block.
Yes, sir.
Right? Look, that seeing, they may see and not perceive.
Yes.
And hearing, they may hear and not understand. Lest, at any time, they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. Now, if you read this, you just read this, automatically you know this is what God Almighty has purposed. This is not just what God Almighty knows will sadly come to pass.
Exactly.
Right? This is what God intentionally meant to do through the parables.
Yes, sir.
Right?
That's right.
And you go back and look, this ain't the only time. Somebody said, well, but this is a special time. And here's the Lord Jesus Christ, and they've rejected him, the Messiah, and that's a really bad sin. Well, you know, every sin should be given the forgiven to the sons of men except the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
You can speak ill of our Lord Jesus Christ. God may still forgive you for that.
Yes, sir.
You know that? He may still forgive you for that. Now, it's not a one-time thing. Actually, this comes from Isaiah. And Isaiah was told to do the very same thing. To go to preach to these people, but to preach to them not in order that they might be converted and that they might have their sins forgiven, but to specifically deny them conversion and to specifically deny them, as the Hebrew puts it, our English in the Hebrew, healed. Our Lord translates it to be forgiven, to be forgiven of sins. Now let me tell you, forgiveness is not to all men. Not to all men. And somebody said, well, that's God's right alone. Well, no, we've given that right too. Whosoever sins you remit, they're remitted.
Yeah.
Whosoever sins you retain, they're retained. And we follow after, as I said, when it comes to, as God willing, we will look at later, there is a forgiveness that is conditional. Right? Let me jump ahead just a moment. Lord, how often shall I forgive my brother? Seven times? And I'm kind of thinking, I don't know this, but I'm wondering if Peter there's thinking about that Old Testament passage that said, though the righteous fall seven times.
Yeah.
Right? Okay, Lord, is that the end? Is that the cutoff? What did our Lord say?
Yeah.
No. It's basically 70 times seven.
Yeah.
There basically is no cutoff point, but there is this. It doesn't matter if he sins over and over and over and over against you. If he comes to you and says, I repent. What do you do? You forgive him. What if he does it again? If he says, I'm sorry, that was wrong, I repent. What do? You forgive him. But what if he said, I like what I'm doing. I'm not sorry for this. Do you have to forgive him? Well, we'll read a passage that specifically says you're to count that man as a heathen and a publican.
Yes, sir. That's right.
That's right. You know. Well, we just got to forgive. Let's be careful.
Yeah.
Let's be careful. Lest our forgiveness be condoning sin.
Exactly.
Lest our forgiveness be enabling sin. Unless our compassion and mercy. God don't forgive us to let us sin.
That's right.
God forgives us because we have sinned.
Amen.
He forgives us because we have sinned. Now, what about another one? Turn to our all... Is there always consider everybody that, you know, the forgiveness is for everybody? We'll turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Now, this is the Apostle Paul himself writing this. And most people today, because they've been lied to by preachers and lying Sunday school teachers for so long, that they have this idea of here's the Apostle Paul, and he just loves everybody, and he cares for everybody, and he's just trying to get everybody he possibly can to believe his message. And he will go, Ellen, to any extent to get them to believe this message. No matter how ill they treat him.
Yeah.
Right? Because after all, somebody hits you on this cheek, you're to turn the other one, right?
Yeah.
And there's Paul. He puts up with it and just puts up with it and just keeps putting up with it, Joe. And no matter what you do to him, he still wants you forgiven. Mm-hmm. Is that Paul?
Right.
Well, let's read Paul. If I'm a spot, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14. Now, just before, Paul's a real man. He said, I left a coat, my outer garment. I left it at Troas with Carpus. He said, you get that thing, bring it to me. I need that coat.
Yeah.
Okay? Mason, this is real.
Yeah.
So the cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments.
Yeah.
I want those Old Testament scriptures. That's what he's saying. Mm-hmm. The parchments. Look at this. Next phrase.
Yeah.
Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. I'm praying for him and his forgiveness every day.
Exactly.
Is that what he says? Now this is put down in inspired right.
Yeah.
So that it is here for posterity. Mm-hmm. It's here so that we might all be reminded, here is the facts and the truth. Mm-hmm. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom be thou ware also. You see that?
Uh-huh.
For he hath greatly withstood our words. You watch this man.
Yes, sir.
He's dangerous.
Yep.
Right?
That's it.
This idea that the Christian, the milk sop, tore wet cornbread sobbing, oh, I just love you and just want you to believe our Jesus. No, our Lord is Lord.
Yes,
he's King of Kings. Our Lord is now, even as a man, is truly in the heavens.
Yes, sir.
And he hath done and is doing whatsoever he hath pleased.
Amen.
We don't beg anybody to follow God.
No, sir.
Nobody. Our God's not a beggar, and he doesn't expect us to be neither.
That's right.
No, Paul said, listen, this guy Alexander, you better watch him. Right? Let me tell you, there's people in this world, you better watch. Because they're going to try to drag you down. They'll withstand the truth. They'll fight against the truth. They might not be an immoral person, or they may be.
Yeah.
That doesn't matter. The problem is they withstand our words. They're fighting against the truth of God.
That's
they're
it.
Dangerous.
Exactly.
Now there's another one. Let's see if I can find this. And you bear with me just a moment. Let me remove my glasses so that hopefully I can find it, because I didn't write this one down. Oh yeah, here it is. Acts chapter 13. Now, I like this one. Now some of these names, as I begin to read this, I may not be able to quote them very well, but that really doesn't matter. Now, let's just begin for the sake of time in verse 4. Acts 13. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogue of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. And when they had gone through the isle unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of the Lord, or the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Well, what do you do when somebody does this? Well, you try to win them too. Right? I mean, come on, the gospel's for whosoever will. Right? Jesus died for us all. God wants us all forgiven. Right? Just pray for him.
Yeah.
Well, let's see what Paul did. Then, he said, try to turn him away from the faith. Then Saul, who's also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost.
Yes, sir.
Now, we may run over there and say, well, I ain't so sure about Paul's attitude when he wrote to Timothy.
Yeah.
Right? But right here I read, he's filled with the Holy Ghost.
Yes, sir.
Right? Filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him.
Yes, sir.
And said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately he went blind. And we don't fall behind Paul ever chasing after him, saying, now, look what God did to you. Don't you think you need forgiveness? Huh? No, this man withstood the gospel. He deserves punishment. And Paul, being apostle, had the ability and the right to give him some.
Yes, sir.
And he did, didn't he?
Yes, sir.
He did. No, let me tell you something. This idea of God wants to forgive everybody, or forgiveness is this, it's supposed to be this universal thing. No, there are some people you best not forgive. You know what I'm saying? Because they'll use that as a dagger to stick in your back when you turn away from them. Okay? If they show no repentance, they show no remorse, there is no place of forgiveness from me.
That's it.
Right? If a man or a woman or a child withstands the truth of God, would seek to draw away people from the faith, he is manifestly that person. Those persons have manifestly declared themselves to be the enemies of God, and we do not seek their well-being.
Exactly.
As far as we're concerned, like Paul said, these people who pervert the gospel, they can go to hell.
Yep.
Right?
That's it.
Amen. That's what he said. Let them go to hell. Isn't that what he said? Well, let's read it. Galatians. And Paul starts off this way.
Yeah.
I mean, as he comes in, I got to work into this gradually now. You know, he gives a greeting and automatically starts hammering down. Right? Look, he gives a greeting, verses 1 through 5. Then in verse 6, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ into another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we preached unto you, let him be accursed.
Amen.
Now it is not just cursed. Not let something just bad happen to him. The word in the Greek means let him find final destruction.
Yes, sir.
Let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than ye have received, and he says it again, let him be accursed.
Amen.
Right? There are enemies to the truth of God. Now somebody said, but what about, how was Paul? He was an enemy. Well, see, that's God's business. God alone has the right to unconditionally forgive the sinner.
Yes, sir.
I don't. It's not up to me to be out there trying to win over the Saul of Tarsus.
No.
And it wouldn't have been a wise thing to try to be doing.
No, really.
Don't you think? You would have ended up in prison.
Yep.
And maybe dead. No, see, that's the amazing thing. We don't find God sending anybody to Saul.
No.
Do we? No. We find God, by his providence, bringing Saul to a death meeting.
Yeah.
You know? To a place where a man who's called Stephen is trying to preach the truth of God, and then Saul holds the coats. He ain't even got the nerve to throw a rock himself.
Yeah.
And he sits there and holds the coats of people who stone Stephen to death.
Sir.
These people hate God.
That's it.
Now, if God decides to turn one of them around, David, that's God's business. But until he does, they are the enemy of God.
Yeah.
And they are my enemy. There are people who will do you harm in this world, one way or the other. They will hurt you. They will ruin you to have their own way. They will ruin you. They will take you to the grave if they could.
Oh, yeah.
They will run you into debt. They will speak evil of you. They will accuse you of things you have not done when there's plenty enough for them to be accusing you of. They will lie, they will cheat, they will steal.
Yes, sir.
They will borrow money and not pay it back.
Mm-hmm.
And all along, I believe in God.
Mm-hmm.
I believe in Christ. I believe in Jesus. I believe in grace.
Mm-hmm.
I believe in sovereignty.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen it.
Yeah.
I've seen it.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody say, are they gods or not? Only God knows.
Yes, sir.
Right? Only God knows. Now let me see here. And let me try to find. I don't know that I can right off. But anyway, it doesn't matter right now. There's a passage, and we'll look at it, God willing, later. There's a passage where the Lord Jesus Christ was giving instruction to the disciples, and he said, if you have a brother that offends you, if a brother has harmed you, he's done something against you, you go to that brother by himself.
Yeah.
Just you and the brother. And you talk to the brother. And if he repents, you have gained your brother. But if he refuses to hear you, what do you do? He said, you take two, at least two, preferably three more with you. You go talk to him. Okay? If he repents, you've gained your brother. But what if he refuses to hear even then? Well, then you are to take it before what? The church. He's not talking about during the time of the law. He's not talking about during the time of the 1,000 years. He's not talking about even in eternity. He's talking about right now. And if he refuses to hear you, if he won't repent, take it before the church. And if he won't hear the church, what do you consider him as? A heathen and a publican.
Yes, sir.
He's an outcast. He's not a part of you. No matter what he says, no matter how you feel about him, put him out if he won't repent.
That's it.
Wait a minute, I thought we were just supposed to be totally forgiving, David. Not if there's no repentance. Because the fact is this, and our Lord said it about that guy in Corinth, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. And the problem wasn't that the man's leaven would cause more problem. It was the people's refusal to stand up against sin and say, no, enough is enough. That was the leaven that was going to leaven the whole lump. Not the man's sin. You know, even putting him out from among the assembly doesn't change who he is and what he's done. It's the attitude the Corinthians had toward it. Well, it's all grace after all. Right? This is all grace. Don't say anything. Let's not speak evil of anybody. Paul said, put him out. He ain't repented? Put him out. Why? To preserve the truth of God.
Yes.
That's why. And as Mason and I talked last night, Joe and I talked last night, and I think we all had said it, and I've said it over and over again, and I mean this. I wish I had a better oratorical ability, but let me tell you something. Truth is more important than even fellowship.
Yes, sir.
Truth is it. Yeah. Because if we start to fall away from the truth, there is no end to it.
That's right.
We don't know how far we might go. We might not go too far,
but
we might go all the way. You don't know. But let me tell you something, if you got truth and you can fellowship in truth, they ain't nothing. Even death can't break that.
Amen.
You know that? Even death can't break it. Father, I pray that you instruct us concerning forgiveness. Not only an important grace, Lord, and not only an important blessing, but a vital blessing. And one that will, by your grace and the instruction and teaching of thy Spirit, begin to show us something of who you are and how you work. I praise you and thank you and ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.